Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, March 31st, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk about all of our passions and hobbies like backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. I'd also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's EggCartons.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, talented Pat Borman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. I'm great today. How are you today? That's the big question. Are you all right, buddy?
Doing good. Good. Yep, got a lot done yesterday. I got a lot of catch up. Of course, being on the road for 5 days put me a little behind. So, I went to bed early last night. Can you believe it?
And I do believe that.
Even kind of took a little bit of a nap before I went to bed, if that makes sense. I'm doing pretty good. So can't complain. And another great day here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a great show lined up for everybody, and we've got some pretty neat news and announcements to make. So how about yourself? I'm reading in the chat room that some folks up that way are supposed to get some snow tonight.
Well, it could. It's been the last 3 days have been pretty dreary, and it's right around 38, 40. But if it snows, that's fine. The only thing is, my peach trees are all bloomed out, so I just hope they don't get frosted out if it starts to snow. But it's cold. I got my wood stove going. It's cranked up, and there's keeping my little whole house nice and toasty. I'm toasty.
Nice and toasty.
I'm toasty.
Thanks to the good wood burning stove. Can't beat it.
Yeah, really. Well, guess what, Whisper? Remember Monday we had the hearing with the county commissioners about allowing residents in the county, Rockbridge County, to keep chickens?
Correct.
So we have a once-a-week newspaper that comes out,
right?
Well, there are two of them, the Rockbridge Weekly and the News Gazette. Both of them carry the story in full, but the Rockbridge Weekly, guess what the headline reads?
People in this area have gone clucking crazy.
You're close. But it says right there in a bigger font than the Rockbridge Weekly itself, it says, "May the flock be with you."
I love it, Pat.
Great. My gosh. I couldn't believe it. And then there's a picture of Goofy grinned me, and along with Grace McDonald, who was the young gal that had the complaint filed against their chickens, holding this big supersized stuffed chicken on the front page. Then it says, "Backyard chickens unanimously approved by county supervisor." So this is a big deal for our area. You got to understand the news. I love a small county. Oh, dear.
Absolutely. You got to save it. Go around to all the little stores, get you a few copies, and put them on the shelf like I do. And that is really neat.
Well, I did get a copy to send to my mom. She'll be so proud. I got such a goofy grin on. I was so happy. I mean, it was just absolutely ecstatic. So even my little double chin is showing. But who cares, you know? the flock can be with us, at least those who want them in Rockbridge County, the residential areas now. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. So congratulations for that. That's really neat.
Oh, our poultry club, if it were not for the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club, I don't think it would have happened. They showed up, and people really interested showed up. I mean, there were over 40 poultry pioneers there at the courtroom. I really think it was closer to 50, but three naysayers. we were really outnumbered them.
Yes, you gotta love it. Gotta love
numbers
it.
Numbers do matter. They really do matter in a courtroom.
Speaking of your local meetup gardening and chicken club, I got a letter from someone with your club yesterday hitting me up for some freebies. Tell us what is all that about? They're kind of asking for feeders and waterers and incubators and things like that.
Who's that?
I think it was from your club yesterday. I got a letter in the mail, and yeah, because it had club started by Pat Foreman.
Yeah. Well, I think I know. I think that might be Jesse. Well, the Cubs trying to raise money for to buy processing equipment. So they've got bumper stickers that says legalized chickens that they're selling, and the proceeds will go to the club for processing equipment. And they usually have an auction of some sort or another at the end of each meeting to try to raise money. So that might be part of that.
Okay.
I didn't have anything to do with the letter, but it's a good idea. Come on, give up a little here, Whisper. Help the club.
I was just curious.
I don't know,
no.
But you don't have waters and stuff to give away, do you? I mean, that's not part of the repertoire there, really.
Yeah, I just I was going to ask you about it because, you know, you never know. You may reach somebody out there that would like to donate something to the club for a better cause of you know, being power to the poultry. So
And we're giving away coops. I mean, the most coops in the world are given away on this talk show. So
got that right.
Everyone knows we're both very generous. I mean, that's certainly part of you give what you get. So it really does pay to, I think, tithe and help others out.
That's a great segue. Actually, talking about the coops, is that tomorrow? Yes, it's April Fool's Day, so you
That's
might
right.
want to be on your.
And
not only is
As
it
Friday,
yeah, not only is it Fun Friday. There's no telling what might happen in the chat room, but not only is tomorrow Fun Friday, but it's also April Fool's Day, and a lot of stuff will be going on tomorrow. So I'm just giving you a fair warning: we are not responsible at some of the April
it's
Fool's
coffee
jokes.
Day.
Maybe your coffee day for Pat. Look out,
I'm looking
folks.
Forward to it already. Yeah. Coffee bagel.
But,
oh boy. But
tomorrow we start not only one but two chicken coop contests. We are going to have a password collection for poultry protection contest, which will involve both our Twitter followers, Facebook fans, and all of our listeners for 20 radio shows. It's really for the entire month of April, so just 1 month. And which we've got all the dates all figured out for 1 month, and it's about 20 shows, 20 days, weekdays, Monday through Friday. We will, during the radio show, sometime between beginning and end, we will announce a secret password. We will also post that secret password on our Facebook and Twitter account. And we will do that, and you just have to write down, hopefully in that spiral notebook you have next to your computer, that you take all the awesome notes by all of our awesome guests, and you'll just write down the little secret password. And then on Friday the 29th, I believe, let me see. Yeah, I think Friday the 29th, because the 28th will be the last password, I think, issued.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 29th, we will actually... we'll take the correct caller, and if that correct caller can recite all 20 passwords, then they win that awesome chicken coop. So we've got that contest starting tomorrow for really anybody and everybody. And then we've got also starting tomorrow, and it'll run for 2 months, all the month of April, all the month of May, the Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest. Now, the password collection for poultry protection chicken coop contest is brought to us by critter-cages.com. They have donated a beautiful chicken coop for that. You may have seen it on our Facebook page. So that contest for radio show, Facebook, and Twitter, critter-cages.com. And then we have the classroom chicken coops for classrooms contest also starting tomorrow. And that's, of course, nationwide, anywhere in the lower 48 states due to shipping restrictions, anywhere in the lower 48. And we've got tons of prizes. We've got they're going to get, I think it was I think it's a dozen hatching eggs from mypetchicken.com. They're going to get a incubator from Brensey.com. They're going to get a brooder from critter-cages.com. They're going to get an awesome coop from Ware Manufacturing. They're going to get books from UPAT, books from me, and books now, proud to announce, from Christine Heinrich as well. So a huge opportunity.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, huge opportunity. Chicken coops for classrooms. We started it here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's been a huge success, and we're going to try to do it three times a year. You can nominate a local public or private school of your choice. And I'll just go ahead and tell you now I'll tell you now how to do it, but we won't start accepting entries until tomorrow, or I guess midnight tonight. And you'll just send an email, contest@chickenwhisperer.net, contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And what we'll need is the school name, the school address, the school telephone number, the school's principal name, and then, of course, your information, who's nominating it, your name, phone number, and address, so we can get in touch with you if they're a finalist or if they win. And then just a small paragraph, just a few sentences of why you think this school deserves this grand prize. We're going to be looking for schools that are already kind of demonstrating sustainable education movement, whether it be recycling programs, healthy school lunches, raised bed gardening, hatching chicks already, having a worm bed, having a greenhouse, composting, things like that. And then that will deem, and even if you're just getting started, we may deem that, hey, y'all, this is great. You're getting started. You're going down the right path, we feel, and this may really help your cause. So it doesn't necessarily mean whoever has the best and most, but we do want them to already be showing a a way of the sustainable school system. So that's what we're looking for. That'll start, I guess, at midnight tonight, April 1st. Again, contest@chickenwhisperer.net, and that'll run for 2 months. And then one of our last shows in May, we'll announce the winner of that, and we'll get all that goodies to the school. So as soon as they start back school after the summer, wham, they'll be able to implement all the goodies that they actually will get from the contest. So nominate your local public or private school to win this great prize. So we got both of those going up, and I'm very, very, very proud to announce, because we, Pat and I both, have been looking near and far to have and bring on the right person and the right show for our gardening spot on the first and third Wednesdays. Now, for a very long time, we have designated days for our special guests to come on and share their expertise with all of our listeners. And the first and third Wednesdays has always been kind of our gardening spot or our gardening show. Well, I'm very, very proud to announce, coming up starting in April, it'll start on April the 6th, and so because that's the first Wednesday, and then April the 20th, we're going to have a brand new show and a brand new guest. We're very excited. It's going to be called Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And it will start again on Wednesday, April the 6th. Many of you have enjoyed our past gardening shows, and I'm very certain you're going to enjoy this one as well. Arlena even has her very own television show. Yeah, so we're moving up in the world. So we're very excited to welcome Arlena to our family of special guests. And she does have a website, GardenWiseLiving.com. And you can see she's got videos there. You can see about if her TV show is in your area, www.GardenWiseLiving.com. And we hope that you'll enjoy the show, which I'm sure you will. So that is huge, and we will be doing that coming up in April. So we're very excited to make that announcement, absolutely. So we're looking, Pat and I, search the globe to bring you the best in educational radio here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Right, Pat?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, the garden shows are so wonderful because there's just so many ways that we're literally learning as the weeks and days go by about how to garden with the chickens. I mean, it's truly the cutting-edge poultry pioneer place of integrating chickens in with our gardens and food production. So it's an incredibly important part. Well, that's
right.
Exciting news.
Yeah.
Very good, Whisper.
And, of course, on our Facebook page, and I will not take credit for this, credit is due to our good friend Lori Eaton Morin. And she is a fan and follower of us on Facebook. She posted it, and then I told everybody that I would share it because if people post on our CW page, unless you specifically visit the page, you won't automatically get updated with every post. But when I post on the page, all of our 10,000 plus fans get that on their Facebook page. So I wanted to post it, and of course we gave credit to Lori. She posted a picture that she got from People Magazine's website of Hollywood movie star and reality show star Tori Spelling. She's walking down, who knows, it could be Hollywood Boulevard, in a beautiful black fancy dress, holding a white silky. And so we've already gotten on this post probably close to 60 comments. The majority of them are very positive. Some are not so positive. Oh, gosh, what's she going to do with chickens? And she's had them apparently for years. She got them for her kids, and they are truly pet chickens. And they're very involved in the humane treatment of animals and raising backyard flocks. And in fact, her husband is cut out of the picture, but apparently next to him, he's carrying a miniature goat. They're going to apparently to a friend's house who also has a backyard ranch or a backyard livestock. So very, very interesting. So I did post that picture of Tori Spelling holding a beautiful white silky with this long, silky black dress on. And by far, most of the comments are very positive, and she's just one more, if you will, Hollywood star, quote-unquote, that has, you know, I guess come out openly that they have chickens, just like Reese Witherspoon and Felicity Huffman and her husband, William Pacey, and Tori Spelling, and there's many, many others, Harry Connick Jr. So I wanted to post that, and it's got a lot of comments, mostly good. And so I just thought it was a neat picture to have, very neat. In fact, I think our friend Jesse at Bidbird has a picture. And let's go ahead right now, since it's kind of related and whatnot, and we're going to do this today since we weren't on yesterday and able. But we're going to go ahead and bring on our friend Jesse from, of course, Bidbird.com.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
All righty, it's now time to bring on our friend, Jesse from Bidbird.com. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I absolutely love that music, you know.
You can't help but to not just tap your foot right along with the commercial.
I'm telling you, you know, hey, Pat, I've been trying to instant message you over in the chat room. Have you been getting them or no?
Oh, I'm not in the chat room, or am I in the chat room yet? Yeah, I'm just in there now. Okay, I got your message.
Post it in the chat room, Jesse. Go ahead and post it in the chat room.
Well, you know, Andy was just talking about Tori Spelling. You know, we've got our own celebrity that we found walking on Hollywood Boulevard, and that was Pat.
Click on that link.
Dress.
Click on that link.
Yep, the link's in the chat room. Is a picture of Pat that we have. With a white silky and a black dress, and you are looking very, very fine.
I didn't know
that.
I looked that good.
Oh, you look wonderful.
Jesse, that is just too much.
Oh,
well, like
we gotta have some fun.
Yeah, I think, and that silky is just a hoot. What a good. Oh, you guys.
That is priceless. So for those of you who are listening to the archive, those of you who are listening live, and again, we normally fill up the chat room, which is great, but again, our other hundreds and thousands of listeners that aren't able to participate in the chat room, whether you're listening live or via iTunes or podcast or what have you, our good friend Jesse at bidbird.com took that picture of Tori Spelling walking down, say, Hollywood Boulevard, and he actually cropped out Tori's face and then put in our co-host Pat Forman's face. So it looks like Pat's walking right down the road with her silky chicken. And so, yeah, absolutely
and
awesome.
One sleeve dress, just a little spaghetti strap dress.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
You need a little sun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I'm going to blow that up and put it on my refrigerator. So I go to get something fattening to eat. I'll look at that and go, oh, no, I want to fit in that dress.
You know what? We're going to leave this picture up for a long time. You can see it if you're in the archive. bidbird.com/images/pat.jpg. And we're going to leave it there for you, Pat.
Oh, thanks. People will think it's really me. Oh, that is priceless. Jesse, only you would have come up with that one.
You know, I think that's why you switched your coffee days to Friday, to keep far away from me and the coffee all in the same day. I don't know if you can handle it.
It would probably put me over the top. Yeah, I wouldn't be responsible at all. Oh, gosh. What a hoot. Okay, well, you know, Whisper, you're next. I mean, it's going to be a domino effect. So I'm going to see what it's going to come up for you.
You know, I wished I had more time, Pat, because I was trying to get a smaller version of Andy shrunk up. So instead of the silky, it was going to be Andy, but I just didn't get it in time. We'll try to fix that for next week.
Kind of hard to get it that small, huh?
Yeah, it's really hard. My wife, it's really hard to reduce my big head. So, you know, I got to get special order hats to fit my head, and so that's why. Yeah, I think we shared that on the radio show earlier, that, you know, the scientists are trying to develop a special CW chicken, but they can't get the DNA so the chicken would have a head that big and to be that cocky. So we can relate. I can completely understand that problem, Jesse, but you can keep trying.
I'm sure we'll come up with something. It's a challenge now.
Yeah, I look so forward to coming on your show and disrupting as much as I can every week. I appreciate that opportunity.
Well, tell us tell us a couple of auctions that you're featuring today.
Well, I just posted one in the chat room. You're not going to believe what this is. It is for 8 white bearded silky eggs from our friends at Shagbark Silkies. They look just like the ones that Tori Spelling, that Pat was holding. They have they said 8. Beard and white silky eggs will be added. Beautiful looking birds. And, you know, wouldn't you be all fashionable walking with these down, you know, this down City Hall in your neighborhood? So, once again,
that's
Shagbark
right.
Silky has 8 white bearded silky eggs for sale.
And they're only $20 right now, $21. That's a deal.
It is a deal. They're beautiful birds, too. We also have, sticking with eggs, and I don't know, if you go to Bidbird, you'll see there's 61 different auctions for eggs. Eggs are hatching eggs are just skyrocketing right now. It's that time of year. It's wonderful. So our friend Kathy Peters of LP Chicks is offering up Colombian Bantams rock hatching eggs. She has a dozen of them, and she usually sends extra, and I've got eggs from her, and she does a great job in packing. She's a wonderful lady to deal with. She says she's offering a dozen hatching eggs from her flock of Colombian Rock Bantams. And right now they are currently at $15, so that is a great, great deal on them. Andy?
Very good. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Normally, every Wednesday, Jesse from bidbird.com joins us, and he's got a couple of featured auctions from his website, and that changes daily. There could be a lot of special breeders that post their stuff today. It may sell. They post more tomorrow, so you want to check in often, especially if you're looking for that rare, maybe that rare breed that you can't find. Maybe the hatcheries are sold out. Maybe you want to buy directly from a breeder, but not just eggs and chicks and birds, but he's got books. He's got equipment. All kinds of neat things there at bidbird.com. So, Jesse, thank you very much for that, and thank you so much for the laugh with that beautiful picture of Pat walking down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, I love
pleasure.
It. Something to aspire to. That's great. Oh, Jesse, you are a hoot. What a hoot.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
See you.
Okay, Pat. Looking forward to it, Jesse. I'm looking forward to Andy's picture now with something.
Hey, now, careful. Oh, my goodness. How cool is that? So,
boy, I'm on the website here. Whisper, he's got six golden lavender, lake and lavender eggs. That's a wonderful, beautiful breed. It's only $6 for six golden lake and lavender eggs. And that's pretty cool. And some of these I've never even heard of. But he also has some true rumpless Araucana bantam eggs. So that's the true ones that from Peru that lay the turquoise eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a bunch. Good.
I'm
glad it's taken off.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. All righty. Moving right along, and we're running a little bit behind, but we had a lot of announcements, and we wanted to welcome Jesse on as well since we missed that yesterday. But so I'll just have one Chickens in the News segment. Pat, if you have one, you can share as well. But everybody, Chickens in the News is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com up in Polk, Ohio. Want to make sure you visit them online, see what all they have to offer, not just chickens, but they also have lots of poultry and chicken gear at MeyerHatchery.com. All righty, this comes to us from Cambridge News out of the UK. Cambridge News. Birdie, the sex change chicken shocks owners. Birdie, the sex change chicken shocks owners. Yep. Our regular listeners are like, only on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. But, hey, you never know what you're going to hear on Chickens in the News. So here we go. An egg-laying hen has stunned her owners by undergoing a bizarre sex change and transforming into a cockerel. Jim and Jeanette Howard, 76 and 79, were amazed when their pet hen, Gertie, stopped producing eggs and began strutting around their garden and crowing like a cockerel.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next few weeks, she put on weight, developed masculine wattles beneath her chin, and grew male plumage and a scarlet coxcomb on her head. The Howards have now renamed their hen Birdie after learning from animal experts that about 1 in 10,000 female chickens undergo sex changes. The Howards, Jim, a retired delivery company manager from Nidlingworth, said he first noticed something was wrong when Gertie began goose-stepping around the garden. He said one day, let me scroll down here a little bit. He said, let's see where it gets. Okay, now I scroll down and I lost it here. One day, one of our hens started making a crowing noise, and I thought, that sounds like a cockerel. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I can assure you it's all true. He was strutting around, goose-stepping, and I thought it was rather strange. People think it's a bit weird, but apparently it's one of those things that does happen. It's all to do with when you get a lot of hens with no cockerels around, and one of the hens turns into a male. Jim and Jeanette, who have 3 children, 7 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren, purchased Gertie in March of last year as company for their other hens. She laid an average of 1 egg a day until November last year when she began crowing every morning. The changes occur when an ovary is damaged, causing testosterone levels to soar and converting the affected ovary into a testicle. Chicken experts Victoria Roberts of the Poultry Club of Great Britain says the very rare condition affects about 1 in 10,000 birds. She said it's caused by changes in the bird's hormones, and this does happen every now and then. I'm so glad we have Dr. McRae, poultry PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist on today, because we're going to ask her about this here when we bring her on a little bit. But yes, Birdie, the sex change chicken, shocks owners. So very, very interesting.
I think that bet Gertie was just wanting to cross dress. You know, she got bored with having all those hens around and decided to do a PowerPoint and start cross dressing. That's a pretty good trick. You must admit, growing wattles and strutting. Oh dear! But that's really relatively common. I've had some friends that only had hens, and one of the hens just takes that lead role of rooster and starts herding them around and being bossy and.
I've had that happen. I mean, we tell folks that whenever there's not a rooster, you're correct. One hen will take the rooster's role, look for predators, maintain pecking order, may stop laying or lay very infrequently. But I can say I've never had one start developing the big waddles and the different comb. And
not that fast.
I've had a broody mama after hatching crow a little bit, but I've never had one of my dominant dominant hens crow just for the heck of it. I did have a broody mama one time crow a little bit after she had hatched her chicks. But, the actual true biological transformation, very interesting story. We'll ask the doctor about it when we bring her on in a little bit. You have any chickens in the news for us today, Pat?
Yes, I've got a short one here. It sort of feeds right in with what we've been talking about over the last several weeks. It says, what to know if you ever want to eat chicken again. And this is from Dr. Mercola, the Dr. Mercola. It's on from his website. It says it's still standard practice on chicken FAOs, which is animal feeding operations. There's chicken FAOs and cow FAOs, but it's still standard practice to dose the chickens with arsenic. We've been beefing about this and fussing about this for a long time. Arsenic apparently makes the chickens grow faster and helps control common intestinal diseases of chickens. This means that, among other problems, an ecological disaster whenever the poultry industry is concentrated. The Delmarva Peninsula, historically one of the most productive fisheries in the U.S., is now nearly an ecological wasteland. Researchers estimate that between 11 and 12 metric tons of arsenic, are applied to agricultural land there every year through the poultry waste, and the arsenic in some household wells has reached up to 13 times the EPA tolerance limit. So, that's far from the only worry, though, according to this article. It says when there's a question of arsenic traces in industrial chicken meat, that's the big thing to worry about. In 2006, the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy tested chicken samples from supermarkets and fast food joints and found 55% contained detectable arsenic. And there was a study that we just had last week recently, remember, Whisper, that said that 100% of the fast food chickens that they tested tested positive for arsenic. So, whoa! 11 to 12 metric tons a year poured onto agricultural land. That's shocking. Well, what can you say? So that's from Dr. Mercola in his on his little website there. That's all I got.
Thank you for sharing that with us again, keeping you up to date on all the traffic across the world with the Roxazone and the broiler feed, commercial broiler feed, and I think it's the state of Maryland that's trying to outlaw that in their state, and maybe other states to follow. So yes, you just never know.
Right. One case of the family, remember that they traced their kids were having behavioral problems, and they traced it to arsenic, and they traced it back to the bagged feed that they bought for their family flock. It was in their eggs coming through.
Right. That was so. Absolutely, we had that scientist on the radio show explaining all of who actually did the studies with that. So we surely did, and that's that was very interesting. So we've been following this continually. We'll continue to follow all this and share it with all of our listeners on that topic. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Pat. Well, it's a little bit past half the hour, but we're going to go ahead and go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome our wonderful friend, Dr. McRae. She's going to give us a kind of a final overview on Cooptastic and then also explain to us, because there's a lot of questions, and I saw it firsthand, and it was amazing, all about avian bowl. And no, avian bowl is not something you order in your favorite restaurant. Avian bowl is a competition, and it gets it's a pretty serious competition too. In fact, it was a great experience to see it firsthand. But I will tell you, Pat, the night before Cooptastic, I met some of the 4-H kids there. I met Chicka Chicka from the chat room that night before, and of course Dr. Mm-hmm. McRae was there, and we were talking about avian bowl and, you know, who to root for and all this kind of stuff, and is there cheering allowed, and, you know, and I said, maybe we can take this to a whole other level. Maybe we can go ahead and order some avian bowl cheerleaders and some pom-poms, and just maybe when my team buzzes in and states the correct answer, the chicken whisperer in the back row can raise his hand up with the awesome air horn and go, wah, wah, wah. And all of a sudden, it was I found that would be frowned upon during the avian bowl. the chicken whisperer, yeah, the chicken whisperer in the back row holding an air horn and pom-poms, sounding the air horn, wah, every time they answered the right answer, would be frowned upon, and that wouldn't be acceptable during avian bowl. But I think we could maybe try and take this to the next level. So you never know.
Before you know it, there'll be a TV show, Avian Bowl. You know, can you know chickens? Can you dance or can you sing? Do you know chickens?
And Jen wouldn't let me. She wouldn't let me, but I was so tempted to go up to the sporting goods store and to the boating section, where most of the time we see those, and get one of those air horns to at least try it. But Jen wouldn't let me. She says, no.
Jen is very good for you.
Oh, yes, she is. No, CW. Yeah, tell everybody. Yeah, she is good for me. So, maybe we'll talk to Dr. McRae about that too. Maybe taking the avian bowl up a notch and having a big stadium, and, you know, people up and, you know, be all quiet and they answer the right answer, and then all of a sudden air horns go crazy, cheerleaders jump up and down, do herkies and all kinds of things like that. So anyway, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to learn all about how awesome Cooptastic was, and we're going to learn also about the avian bowl. Totally fascinating. We'll be back right after this short break. Stay with us, folks.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Or I just thought of something else. Maybe just as soon as the team presses the button, and that team and the team individual says whatever the question may be, on how many hours, what hour of incubation do the eyeballs develop, and they say 24 hours. The next thing you know, Chicken Whisperer stands up in the back and says,
"Oh yeah!" I like that better than the foghorn idea. I think that's I mean, enthusiasm's a good thing, a very good thing.
Just really get the crowd involved. All righty, it is now time to bring on our good friend, Dr. McCray, and she's going to be sharing with us about all the great things that happen at Cooptastic and all about Avian Bowl. Welcome, Doctor.
Hey, everybody. I loved meeting you and having you at Cooptastic. I'm so glad you made it home safe and sound.
Thank you. It was a blast. It was so fun, of course, to meet you and all of your students and the 4-H'ers and their families. And it was
didn't
just
everybody
people,
do a great job?
It was wonderful. And I thought it was organized.
Fantastic.
Yeah, organized wonderfully. Went very, very smooth. Heard lots of positive things about it. And, it was great.
And I think because you were next to Avian Bowl, that was probably your favorite part of the day.
Well, believe it or not, I had never experienced Avian Bowl before, and that was one thing because we talk about it here on the radio show and all the questions that we ask.
Right along the same topic. Mm-hmm. There you have it. Well, just as a quick update, we had a total of 355 people come to Cooptastic, and that is more than last year. It was about a 50-50 split. Some people pre-registered. A lot of people walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we tallied up the numbers. We came up with 355. And at the door, the walk-ins, we had about $1,300 collected, and all of that goes to 4-H. So fantastic job to everybody who came and participated and learned something new at Cooptastic. And thank you so much, because your donation goes directly to our 4-H'ers. Thank you very much, everyone.
All right. Very good.
We had a survey, or actually an evaluation, that we gave out in the goodie bags. And we had about 50 of those returned. And so based upon what people said, they gave us an overall rating of somewhere between good and excellent. You know, about half of the people said that we were excellent. Half the people said we were good. Nobody said that we had a poor performance. That was great feedback from everyone who came. Everybody said that the content was very useful and well organized. People also said that the variety of vendors was excellent. In the feedback, we also received that the speakers really created interest in the topics that we presented. And in a few of them, you know, the participants got to be involved in the presentation. So, you know, throwing questions out there to the listeners and making sure that everyone's awake that's sitting there in the audience is a really good way to make sure that more information is absorbed.
Well, if you need people awake in the audience, then just let me loose with some of those air horns. And
well, as you saw, that big building that we were in was very cavernous, and the echo in there just wouldn't have been conducive. I'm very sorry. Everyone who responded said that they received answers to their questions, and about 75% of those who responded stated that they received resource materials that they can use and ideas that they can try immediately. So I started to take a good look at what people were examining. We said, you know, how much of the content from the field day did you already know? And everyone said, well, just a little, just a tiny bit. And they gave lots of different subjects that they either learned or relearned or maybe gained from the event. And since we built a hoop house right there, they really liked that. That was often people's number one topic that they said they learned about. But then also number two was often the breeds of chickens that we had on display, or biosecurity, which really surprised me because I talk all the time about biosecurity. But that just goes to prove that we still need to talk about biosecurity because it's not reaching everybody. And one of the other questions that we asked is if you would be interested in attending another poultry field day just like this one. Everyone said yes. Absolutely every respondent said yes. We also asked people what was their flock size. The average flock size was about 10 chickens. Of course, we had some people with as few as 3. Some people had as many as 50. We had mostly people from Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, but we also had a few folks come from New Jersey. And, of course, one tremendously wonderful individual from Georgia made the trip on up to Cooptastic. The majority of people who responded to our survey also were women. Of course, we did have gentlemen there, and they were often the ones sitting down taking a look at some of our processing demonstrations. So we did teach people how to can poultry meat, how to cut up a carcass, how to process chickens, all those good things. Now, what I found most interesting is we put forth a rating system as to whether or not, you know, the information that was learned is something that will be actually put to use on people's farms. And subjects that received a score of 3 out of 3 were things that people wanted to put to use on their farms. So number one was cleaning and disinfecting their coop. They learned the most about those methods. Number two was supplying a balanced diet to their birds. And number three was monitoring their flocks for signs of illness and disease. So those were the three things that hit home the most with people and what they are willing to implement right away. Number two was thinking more closely about biosecurity, followed by thinking about an egg's nutrient content. We had some very good talks on these subjects. And so people were really impressed by, you know, the nutrient content of the eggs that they eat every day, or maybe every other day, depending on your flock size. And then the last subject that people said that they got a rating of about 2.9 out of 3, was composting chicken litter or manure and waste, and that's right up your alley, huh, Pat?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the best uses of chickens is to make them into biomass recyclers.
There you go. So you've got quite an interesting set of people who are willing to practice biosecurity. One of the other subjects was they want to change. A lot of people said that they were willing to change their management to improve the health of their birds and also practice biosecurity with their poultry or around other people's poultry. So there you go. There's a little wrap-up about Cooptastic and the information that we gathered from the event and how people were impressed with the subjects that we put forth, which is great news because it means that even though I may repeat myself from time to time, it may sound like I'm broken record, it still means that the information is needed and you, as good poultry keepers, can be Andy's and Pat's and mine's feathered friends or biosecurity warriors out there spreading good information to help us reach the people that we just can't reach either by radio or they're not picking up the books or they can't come to workshops and events. So as friendly as chicken people are, I don't think it's much of a stretch for everyone to share good information with each other. What was your favorite part of Cooptastic during the morning, Andy?
Well, of course, my radio show. No.
Well, no. Who was your favorite interviewee?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's see. That's why it's so hard to get a picture of me that'll fit in a frame. No, let's see. I was amazed at interviewing Dr. Was it Zimmerman?
Yes. Dr. Zimmerman is great, isn't he?
Oh, gosh, chock full of information. And it's just, I could have interviewed him for 3 hours on mm-hmm. just the knowledge that he has about eggs. I'm sure he's got a lot more knowledge than that, but just he was fascinating to listen to about all of his knowledge about eggs. And I think he was doing the egg judging contest there.
Yes, he was our egg judge. And he also was my co-moderator for part of Avian Bull. He did a fantastic job. Well, one of the other subjects I was going to go into today was just that, Avian Bowl. So what is Avian Bowl? You've seen it, Andy. It's a quiz bowl, and you don't have to own chickens to participate in it. In fact, one of our teams was part of an after-school program started by one of my coworkers here at Delaware State University, and none of those kids own chickens, but they certainly can open up a book and learn a thing or two about keeping chickens. And it's a good supplement to those who do have chickens if they want to learn more. It was started in California by Dr. Francine Bradley, but it moved to the national stage in 1989. And so at the National 4-H Poultry and Egg Conference, Dr. Bradley added the Avian Bowl competition. So basically, it's to encourage youth to expand their knowledge of avian facts and become proficient in poultry management. And it does give you a little bit of career guidance by promoting a little interest in the poultry industry. You learn a little bit more about the subjects that you read about for years. And, you know, if you stick with Avian Bowl for about 3 or 4 years, you learn different sections, you'll have pretty much a year of college introduction to poultry science under your belt, which is very helpful for those who are interested in starting their own poultry business or working for a poultry company or perhaps going into veterinary medicine. Those different topics. It is basically a way to stimulate the learning process and to make learning fun. So how do you start? Number one, everyone learns from one manual. It's called the Avian Bowl Manual. And that manual, you can go to the National 4-H Poultry and Egg Conference website and the information on how to order that manual is right there when you click on Avian Bowl. And what I'm doing right now is I am looking for that link so that
is
everyone...
Is there a charge for the manual, or is it just a download?
Yeah,
there,
it's $15, and okay. You can order it online, or you can phone in your order. Here, let me put the information into the chat box so that everyone who is listening today can see what I am talking about. There you go. And so this manual is used every year. Different sections are selected every year. So like last year we had understanding food poisoners, and we had a different section from Encyclopedia. But there's enough information covered to create enough questions for everyone to practice with for the year. So when you're having an actual competition, you've got two teams that go up against each other. There's buzzers, there's questions, and most importantly, there are coaches to guide the team members. A good coach makes all the difference in the world. You can have 2 to 4 people on a team. So that means you can have 2 teams of 4 facing each other, or a team of 2 against a team of 3. So the numbers are allowed to vary. Usually what I recommend for coaches is to help a team pick a good team name, something that everybody takes pride in. And it creates a little bit of camaraderie when you're doing team study and practice sessions, and then definitely on practice or competition day. Junior teams are usually somewhere between the ages of 9 and 13, and senior teams are 14 to 18 or 19. Depends on whether we're talking 4-H years or not. Then, additionally, you're going to have a timekeeper and a scorekeeper, and the moderator asks the questions. So, Andy was there, and when you take a look at Andy's Cooptastic photographs, he was standing in the audience, and you can see the scorekeeper has the pink shirt, and my timekeeper was off to the side giving me... time for questions was up, and it really does help the flow of the game so that you're not bogged down waiting for people to hem and haw over answers. Either you know it or you don't. So it keeps the flow of the game at a good pace so that those who are waiting don't get bored and wander off. All right. Usually in December of each year, our study sections come out. And you can always check on those sections at the National 4-H Poultry and Egg website. And you can see when you click on there, you'll see the current sections. I'll also post them on my Facebook page, the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. So if you want to, grab that binder, grab the manual and put it in a 3-ring binder, and you're good to go. When you're having an Avian Bowl competition, there are certain rules that are posted in the front of the manual that teaches you how the game is played. If you get a question right, it's 5 points to the team. If they get it wrong, it's -5 points to the team. And
now, speaking of points, if let's say somebody gets the wrong answer and the other team happens to go,
la, 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 la.
Then,
well, the other team would be asked not to do that because it's not polite in gameplay. And we do try to respect each other in any sort of 4-H competition.
Of course.
So here's the kicker, though, and I think you saw this a couple of times, Andy. If I start reading a question and I read it all the way through, I will not repeat the question.
Correct.
So if someone rings in after I've read the question all the way through, they ring in, I have to acknowledge them by their number that they're seated at, and if they answer before I acknowledge them, they lose 5 points. Because it's one of the things that we train young people to do is to be patient and respectful. One of the things that we had problems with early in the game is that some people would repeat the question instead of initiating their response. So repeating the question is not initiating a response. And they only have a few seconds to start their response. So, you know, it's a problem that's kind of been hashed out. You have to give your answer, and those who study know the answers. So another way this could go is if I'm interrupted before I get through all the way through the question. You saw that a few times, didn't you, Andy?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these kids hit upon the keywords that are in the question and didn't even need to hear the rest of the question. So if I'm interrupted, I stop reading immediately. I do not finish the question. I acknowledge the person who rang in. They have 5 seconds to begin their question. If they get it right, great, they get plus 5 points. If they get it wrong, it's minus 5 points, and the other team gets a crack at the question. But here's the kicker. The other team gets to hear the question from start to finish. It behooves them to not ring in and listen to the question from start to finish. So I've had a few times, and it didn't occur while you were there, Andy, when the other team rings in without letting me finish the question, and they get it wrong too. And if they just waited until the question was all the way through, they would have been just fine. But you know how kids get impatient, and that's part of the learning process.
I walked up to Chicka Chicka, and because I had noticed in the beginning of one that I guess technically, if one team didn't answer any questions, never pressed their button, not once, just sat there, and the other team happens to say answered 3 questions wrong and got negative 15, that my team could win for sitting there doing nothing if the other team missed several questions.
Correct.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. That does not usually occur. Usually everybody gets gets a chance to ring in.
That's also true in life, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you just sit there and be quiet, you can sometimes win because the other people go blabbing on. Making fools of themselves.
Sometimes. So what if nobody rings in and nobody knows the answer? Once I'm done reading the question, I let 10 seconds elapse, and then, you know, I look at my timekeeper and they call time. The question is dropped and no points are awarded. And I usually, for the sake of the audience, will say the answers to the question out loud so everyone can learn. And sometimes during training sessions, when I'm in Delaware, I will, you know, spend a minute or two going into the history behind the breed or more about how such and such a chicken is raised, or, you know, I really try to turn it into more of a learning opportunity if nobody knows the answer. So teams are seeded before they play. Usually it's through a 25-question written exam. And you'll take the top 3 team member scores and average them and drop the lowest score of the person. Drop the lowest score of the 4th person. The top score plays the least often, and, you know, sometimes byes are awarded. But it's a double elimination competition. You have to lose twice before you're out. That's the key. Question design. I get a lot of these questions. How do you decide what the questions are? Well, there's 3 basic types: fill in the blank or short answer, multiple choice, and spelling. And I do a good job of the fill in the blank and multiple choice questions on the Facebook page, but spelling obviously doesn't really work when you're doing a Facebook page because you'd see the spelling of the word right there. But Andy, if I asked you to spell coccidiosis, could you tell it back? Could you spell the word for me?
I do spell it quite frequently. Coccidiosis.
Correct. And that's the thing. Having the confidence to say the word from start to finish without changing any of your letters or making mistakes, that's also part, an important part of Avian Bowl. So an example of one of the fill-in-the-blank questions would be, here you go, Andy. The most wonderful bird in the world is the...
Dodo.
Andy.
Chicken Whisperer.
The dodo.
The Chicken Whisperer.
Well, the correct answer is chicken, but another way to phrase that question would be, what is the most wonderful bird in the world?
Okay. Chicken.
So that's the two ways to phrase the fill-in-the-blank questions. There's also bonus questions and tiebreaker questions, and I'll get to that in a minute. For those of you who are out there who are interested in doing Avian Bowl, how do I read the questions? Well, first I read the section. Then I read the type of question, whether it's spelling or multiple choice or fill-in-the-blank. Then I ask the question. So an example might be, this question is from Breeds, Varieties, and Strains, multiple choice. The names Mediterranean, American, or Asiatic indicate the blank. A, breed. B, variety. C, class. D, strain. Pat, do you know the answer?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I cannot. I have read it in its entirety.
It's got to be C. It's always C.
Good job.
Always
5
C.
Points to Pat. Way to go.
Now, what was the question?
Okay. The names Mediterranean, American, or Asiatic indicate the, and you answered C, class.
Oh,
so that
good.
Would be the correct answer.
Great, great. Raw. Okay, I'm smarter than I thought.
So
next.
What do the kids do? Well, they hold buzzers, but they try not to conceal the light from me, the moderator, because once they ring in, I'm going to start looking around on the table as to whose light lit up. Sometimes the kids get nervous and they end up hiding the buzzer light with their hands. But, you know, I'll say, everybody move your hands out of the way so I can see who rang in. When they hit the buzzer, the game system locks out their teammates and their competitors. So I always tell my kids, wait until the moderator says your number. You just owned the question. Do not rush. It belongs to you. Because if they blurt out their answer before I acknowledge them, they lose 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you did see that a couple of times
yes.
during the practice game, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah. It happens. And so, you know, it's a matter of patience and confidence that it slowly builds in those who play. Now let's talk about the spelling questions. The word to be spelled can either be spoken or I can ask a question. So I could say, spell runner. Like, as in runner duck, and it would be R-U-N-N-E-R. Or I could ask the question like this. Spell the name of the duck that has an upright carriage resembling a walking bottle.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
Sometimes the question, you know, and it's usually the seniors who get the slightly more difficult method, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't just tell them spell runner. And understanding that some children have a preference for writing their answer versus speaking their answer, there's always pencil and paper on the table so that the members may write down their answer and then hold it up and show me. And hopefully they'll write in large enough letters that I can see them, even if they're all the way at the other end of the table. And here's the kicker. Once a letter is written or spoken, it cannot be changed. So if I say runner, spell runner, and they go R-U-E-O, R-U-N-N-E-R, nope, they already put out the E, and then they get the question incorrect. So they have to have confidence.
Yes.
It is a confidence-building event. Bonus questions. That made a difference in a couple of those rounds, didn't it, Andy?
Yeah, and I was curious because I couldn't follow when a bonus question was.
And I think it's because you missed the explanation in the beginning. So here, let me tell you about it now.
Great.
If you noticed, I had numbers in front of each of the children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little cards. When they started, they were all flipped over on the white side, and then eventually they'd flip them over to the pink side. So when were they flipping over those cards? When they got a question right.
I see.
Okay. So if you have a team of four, everyone must answer one question correctly. That ensures that everybody on their team pulls their weight and learns something. Mm. What if you have a team of three? Everyone must answer a question correctly. Then one more person on that team, anybody, can answer one more question correctly. Okay? It could be the captain. It could be the person in position number two or number three. It doesn't matter. So everyone on the team must get a question right, and then someone on that team must answer one more question correctly. What if you have a team of two? What do you think, Andy?
If you have what?
What if you have a team of two?
I guess the same thing would happen, or no?
Everyone on that team, team member one and team member two, must answer a question correctly. Then any of the team members must answer two more questions correctly. It could be the captain, or it could be the other person. They could answer one correctly, they could answer two correctly, doesn't matter, just two more questions correctly. That way, once all four cards are flipped over, they will have the opportunity for a bonus question, which is worth 10 points. They have 30 seconds to consult, or 10 seconds to consult with one another. And then the team captain has to ring in with their answer. If they get it wrong, they don't lose 10 points. But if they get it right, they get 10 points. And it's usually a question that allows them to have a little bit longer answer. Like, say, if I think one of the questions that I came up with was, you know, name three varieties of Plymouth rock or something like that. Something that, you know, they... It's a little bit longer answer. And let's see. I also have, in your Avian Bowl manual, you can see the timekeeping questions. So after a question is read all the way through, it's 10 seconds to ring in. Once a contestant rings in, they have 5 seconds to begin their answer. And beginning an answer does not consist of, No, that's not beginning your answer. Doesn't count. Sorry. If there's a bonus question, there's 10 seconds to consult, 5 seconds to begin the answer, and 30 seconds to complete that answer. Now, if I'm interrupted when I'm reading a question to the other team, they have 5 seconds to ring in, okay, after I've read their question. Let's see. There's always one visible scorekeeper, but then I believe you saw Chicka Chicka in the background. She was my audience scorekeeper verifying if the score was correct. And so that helps. Tiebreakers. It does happen. It's usually a set of 5 questions worth 5 points each, and you continue until the tie is broken. I remember last year at Nationals, the first round, I don't remember the two states, but the first round, there were 3 tiebreakers in a row. We were like, whoa, this is going to be a difficult year. Okay. As I start to wind down this talk about Avian Bowl, challenges by coaches can occur. A team member can ask a judge to verify the answer if they think that the question is a little ambiguous, but only coaches can challenge the judge. And the coach must call timeout immediately, and they must do it before the next question is read. So that means, coaches, you need to know the material. And if you think an answer is incorrect, you need to be able to be on top of the information and call timeout quickly. Decisions by the judge and other officials are final, and only answers in the Avian Bowl manual are acceptable because that's what everyone's studying from. As much as we enjoy you, Pat, if someone quotes something from your book, sorry, it doesn't count in Avian Bowl because it all comes from the manual.
Oh, okay. I certainly don't take that personally at all.
Okay. For coaches that are designing questions, one of the things that can help you is put the page number at the bottom of the question so that if one of your members goes, I think you have that wrong or I'm confused, you can quickly flip to that page. And it's just a way of making things go a little faster. I usually tell people to print them out on 3x5-inch index cards. And coaches, if you're going to be doing this for maybe more than 4 years, you should definitely keep those in a collection somewhere so that only in the first 4 years of doing this will you need to make questions. Then the rest of the time, you've just got questions already made up. I always tell coaches to assign sections based upon the kids' interest. So there's 6 sections this year. A couple of the kids might split one of the larger sections, but always assign backup readers so that they can create questions for each other. So if Tommy and Billy are both working on the raising waterfowl section, then maybe Jane can create the backup questions to make sure that they're actually studying. And that way, if, you know, Tommy is sick, then she knows a little bit of the information, too, and can maybe ring in with an answer. One of the other things I tell folks to do is read a line in the Avian Bowl manual and have the kids read it back to you in the form of a question. And so it's a way for you to help them pick out keywords or create flashcards even. That's a good way. I always put a question a day up onto our Facebook page, the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. And today's question is, giving young pullets the opportunity to find nests 1 to 2 weeks before they start laying helps to prevent what bad habits? So I've got that question out there. I'd like some of your listeners today to give a crack at that question to see if they know the answer, and that comes from Raising Your Home Chicken Flock. So, Andy, you saw that the team that won juniors, the junior competition, went up against the lone Maryland senior team, and Maryland for the first time had teams competing in Avian Bowl. This is their first year trying it. And they had 3 teams, 2 junior teams and 1 senior team. And the team that won the junior competition went out against the Maryland senior team in 3 rounds and beat them. So it was quite an adventure. The winning team was Chicken Fried, and they do have a fun and interesting name. But a couple other names that were interesting was the Egg Noggins, the Hard-Boiled Eggheads. One of the teams named themselves the Green Dragons. I think that was because 4-H was their favorite green color, 4-H Clover Green. And another team was the Excellent Eggers. The other ones were the KFC Chicken Warriors. But as you can see, Avian Bowl is meant to have a lot of fun while learning some things. And a lot of those kids, even though they may not have won, had a blast there that day. And that's what it's really all about. So, Andy.
Yes.
You saw Chicka Chicka there. That was her team that won Avian Bowl. And what was the team captain wearing? Do you remember?
I do. He was wearing a Chicken Whisperer t-shirt for good luck.
Yes, he is a loyal listener and a young poultry enthusiast. So you have friends in the Avian Bowl world. Way to go, Andy.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Hey, Dr. McCray, we do have a caller that has a question for you. I think it was in the chat room, and I don't know if you want to divert those or off the air or whatever. I can always – we'll just do a Facebook contest for our prize today, which is fine, which gives us about 7 minutes if you want to take the call for the questions from Brits and Grits.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk with Brits and Grits. She had a really good question that I don't mind answering today on your show.
All righty, you're live on the air with Andy, Pat, and Dr. McRae. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I had a couple questions because I'm absolutely overrun with chicks right now. And the ones that I hatched, I'd seen something online where you can tell the sex of a chick by the wings. They have like an upper row and a lower row of the feathers, I guess one higher than the other. And that if it was shorter row, it was female. And if they're all the same, then it's a male. I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought, well, maybe I could try it and paint a little bit of, like, fingernail polish on, you know, the little feet of the chicks. But I didn't want to do anything like that if it wasn't safe for them. So it's kind of a two-part question.
That's a really good question. Thank you, Brits. It's called feather sexing, and it is only done in particular strains of chickens. So it does not work in all breeds. You have to get one of those breeds, typically it's the sex-linked brown egg layers, where this is done. And so you'll have to call the hatchery and say, can I feather sex these birds? And typically it only works in sex-linked brown egg layers. Now, if you did want to mark birds that you suspect are male chicks versus female chicks, maybe this is a good way to incorporate this into a school science project. You might be able to put a little dot of food coloring onto a Q-tip and gently rub that once a week on the back of a chicken's fluff on their neck. And then you can let them grow up and see who really was male and who really was female. As far as fingernail polish on the toenails, it's not recommended because a lot of the chickens, especially if it's red, will go after that. So if you choose something like green or blue food coloring and putting that on a Q-tip and just dotting that gently onto those chicks that you think are male or female, your choice, and then let them grow up, that's a good science fair project for your kids later on and for you just to keep track of your chickens. But you will have to call the company and see, you know,
these
I ordered
the ones that I hatched.
Oh, you hatched them.
They were from my black astrolabe rooster and the Rhode Island red hens.
No, you're not going to be able to feather set them at all.
Okay.
No, sorry. Okay. It takes years of breeding to get feather sexing worked into the genetics.
Okay. Yeah, this
good
is their
question.
First time together. All right, well, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
All righty. Very good. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. We got 3 minutes left, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you very much for our caller, and thank you very much, Dr. McRae, for coming on today and sharing all a great update about Cooptastic, which was an absolutely fabulous event, and educating us all on avian vole rules and regulations. And I've got to order that book, sure thing, so we
you
can get some more.
You are going to love reading that. And for $15?
Yeah,
shoot,
can't beat
why
it.
Not?
Absolutely.
Then y'all can really give it a crack at those questions that I put forth every day.
Absolutely. And get more trivia questions for our listeners for all those great prizes. So and
if you can beat Louise Sugar at answering those questions, I think that's saying something because, boy, she's quick on those answers.
Tell them what. That's awesome. Very good. Well, thank you, Dr. McRae, for joining us, and Pat as well. And if you're wondering about today's prize, it is Thursday. Thursdays are brought to you by critter-cages.com. We will have later today sometime. It could be in the next 5 minutes. It could be at 9 o'clock tonight. but sometime today we'll have a Facebook fan contest on our Facebook page for today's prize that we didn't get to on the radio show. So no problems there. And we hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, because not only tomorrow, we start the password collection for Poultry Protection Chicken Coop Contest. So, yes, tomorrow, sometime during the radio show, we'll be issuing our very first secret password. The classroom Chicken Coops for Classroom Contest starts tomorrow as well. And we have tons of prizes to give away, all of our awesome sponsors. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show, being Fun Friday and April 1st, April Fool's Day, so you never know what might happen on the
look
radio
out.
Show or in the chat room. And so amazing. And Pat has her coffee, so woo! So, all righty, Pat, take it away.
All
much, Dr. McRae, for telling us about the avian bull and all the intricacies and challenges and opportunities that it offers. Thanks, of course, to all our sponsors for their support. And, of course, Andy Lee, where would we be without you, without your foghorn and yippee-yaying in the background and cheering all of us on? So we deeply appreciate you. Thanks to our chat room chickeneers for clucking along, of course, and all our listeners. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, the chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Ha 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 ha